Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I am good.
Awesome. It's glad to have you. I'm now speaking about myself in third person as if I am nothing more than an object.
That's because you're secretly an Android, but we knew that.
Then it's not much of a secret now, is it? Yeah. Anyhow, I thought it would be fun to have you on today so that we could put our ranty pants on. But because it's you, I know we'll put our ranty pants on in a constructive way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what I want to look at today are products that Apple has that are way overdue for a redesign or a refresh. And I know you have some serious thoughts about this, and I'd love to go down your shopping list.
Well, let's start with the Apple TV.
That seems like a good place to start, because that's a product that we have all complained about as being long in the tooth. And there are now rumors that we may be getting one soon, or an update soon.
Yeah, we think from rumors that Apple's going to have an event on the week of September 7th. Mm-hmm. September 9th has been focused in on as a potential date. And there's some things that, you know, as we usually kind of back into it, we kind of think Apple's going to do. From supply chain and sources and rumors, and one of them is an Apple TV. We kind of thought we were going to get that at WWDC in June, but apparently Apple was working on some content deals with the networks so that they could deliver a subscription service, something on the order of, what is it, 25 channels or so for $30 to $40 a month. With the one holdout being Comcast, because they own NBC Universal. But CBS and ABC, I guess, are lined up, right? But that hasn't come to fruition. And so we kind of got this lingering feeling that Apple was tying the release to this content deal. And that annoyed me greatly. It always bothered me that Apple was trying to tie this hardware to the release of the subscription service, because, you know, Apple's always been successful in developing and releasing cool hardware, desirable hardware. And how is it that Apple could go 3 years and let Roku and Google and Amazon with the Fire TV and their sticks kind of just jump all over this industry? Now, I know Apple sold 25 million of the Apple TVs, and probably nobody has sold that many, but the mind share and the thinking is that the Apple TV is really old, and if you're going to go buy a new one, and a new one is, it's high time for a new one, it really ought to be worth your time, even if it's only $99. It should have 4K, I think, because it would future-proof. I mean, Apple's trying to negotiate content deals with an industry, but all the articles I read say, no, it doesn't need 4K. Well, yes, it does, because it'd be kind of a slap in the face to the industry that Apple's negotiating with. And all the people who were thinking about buying a new one after 3 years, their hearts would sink. I have a second generation, which can't do even 1080p.
Right.
So I'm hot for a new one. But Apple would seem to be kind of like a doofus company behind the times, being so conservative. You know, and I read all these articles and say, no, there's no content. You know, there's not enough 4K TVs being sold. You know, there's no really need for Apple to include 4K in this device. Well, the A8 chip can do it. It's a no-brainer to upgrade the HDMI port to HDMI 2 and do 4K. Why not install that, future-proof it, make people happy to buy fabulous new hardware that can do 4K when they're ready for it? And, it's been so long. It's just high time Apple just went ahead and just shipped beautiful new hardware with 4K and got us all excited. And then the content deal will come along.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for my third gen. I have a third gen. You have a second gen Apple TV.
Yeah.
And even with my third gen Apple TV, I'm ready for a new model. And I've had my third gen long enough that I'm trying to remember exactly when I bought it, and I can't. I've had it that long now.
It was probably sometime around 2012, although there was an update in January of 13, but it was a minor hardware update.
And I think that's when I probably bought mine, was after that minor update came out. So I've probably had mine since early 2013. And, well, you know, who knows? Maybe I did get it earlier. But it feels like I've had this forever.
Well, it makes me wonder how Apple's mind works, because Apple is being very aggressive about content delivery. And from what we've seen in the rumor mill, it looks like Apple's working very hard on this subscription service and wants very much to be a content provider and to jump on the internet TV bandwagon. So you would think that as part of that process, Apple would make sure that customers knew that they were being also very aggressive in their hardware and always had the latest hardware available. So that seems like a disconnect to me that's puzzling.
My guess is that because of the things Apple wants to do, it hasn't been worth it to them to give us these very minor incremental updates, because the other stuff that they have planned is going to make it a bigger update.
Well, that's part of what annoys me about Apple, is that everything has to be big and grandiose. And instead of just, you know, shipping hardware and making money, it's like we have this grand circus tent and everything's got to come together, and we got to roll in the audience. We got to have elephants. We got to have a big tent. You know, there's got to be fans. There's got to be a band out there. You know, everything has to come together in this giant event. And if we can't do that, then, you know, forget about updating the hardware. That's kind of like it seems to me.
Well, in this case, that's probably it. But I think part of the big circus elephant throwing adventure that they have going on here is that the big stuff they want to add is the streaming television content. And they haven't been able to make that happen yet. So, well, I think they've hit a point where they've realized, well, we have to put something out because we're starting to look pretty bad, at least for Apple TV.
So let's bundle new and untested hardware with a sweeping subscription service and bundle them together. What could go wrong, right?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. Well, this way, they don't have to worry about that, because they give us a new Apple TV, hopefully give us an app store to go along with it, and now we have this very compact, really flexible and useful home entertainment system. And then in a few months, they add on streaming television.
Yeah, that would be sensible.
That's what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we hop on to another item on your list, I wanted to remind everyone that they can help the Mac Observer by making their Apple purchases with a special link that we have. So what you can do is go to macobserver.com/Apple Store. And what happens when you do that, you generate a referral kickback for us. And that will happen when you buy that new computer you want, that Apple TV, the refreshed Apple TV when it comes out. You need a new iPhone, whatever it is. If you go to macobserver.com/Apple Store, that's going to send you on to the Apple Store, just like you would expect. You'll be able to buy whatever it is that you want to buy, and then we'll get a little bit of money back out of that. You're not paying anything extra. And then that money that we get back from that goes to help cover the costs of making sure that we have servers up and running for articles and podcasts, making sure that we get to pay writers for the hard work that they put into content for you. Yeah. And to make sure that we have the bandwidth we need so that we can stream podcasts like this to you. So head on over to macobserver.com/Apple Store when you need to buy whatever Apple gear it is that's burning a hole in your pocketbook right now. And we'll get a little something out of it. You'll get that new gear that you want, and everyone wins. So please go do that. MacObserver.com/Apple Store. Okay, so now, John, you have more on your list. And I bet I know exactly what you're looking at.
Yes, the Apple Thunderbolt display. an embarrassment.
You know, when Apple's Thunderbolt display came out, I wasn't overly impressed. I mean, it's the image quality at the time was beautiful, but it wasn't a display where I sat back and thought, wow, I have to get me one of these.
Let me read you the list of, I wrote an article in December when I was buying a new display. Turned out to be a Hewlett-Packard Z27i. And I wrote about my experience in searching for a new display, and I had a list here of non-features of the Apple Thunderbolt display. So it's expensive, as you mentioned. It shipped in July of 2011, but it's basically an update of the original LED cinema display from 2010.
Okay, so July of 2011. It's August 2015. So
4 years.
Yeah.
It has three USB 2 ports.
Wow.
And a FireWire 800 port.
Wow.
It's Thunderbolt only. So if you've got DisplayPort, you're going to have to fuss around a little bit. It's thick on the edges. Apple doesn't do thick on the edges anymore because, you know, the sleek new iMacs are very thin on the edge. So it looks kind of clunky. One of the things that instantly dismissed it for me is the height is not adjustable. The tilt is, but not the height. And so I couldn't match the height to my old cinema display. I have a 24-inch. And if you can't match the display heights, then that disqualifies the display. It has a glossy finish, which I don't like. I'm getting away from. Mm-hmm. And finally, most wonderful non-feature, it has the old MagSafe 1 connector for your MacBook.
Which works out just great for that Retina MacBook Pro that you have.
Right. Although you can buy a little adapter for $10 to turn MagSafe 1 into MagSafe 2. Still, it's a signpost that this is a very embarrassing and aging computer display. Excuse me. And Apple should just discontinue it rather than continue the public embarrassment of trying to ship a display like this in the face of all the fabulous displays coming out that are 4K from the competitors.
Well, this display is still priced at the same point it was years ago, so it's almost $1,000.
Yes,
and it's what, 27-inch display?
Right, 2560 by 1440.
So there are displays that come in at 27 inches with much higher resolution and a much lower price tag.
So it makes one wonder what Apple's thinking. I mean, are they just not paying attention? Do they just don't care that they need a display to put into the stores connected to the Mac Pro or the Mac Mini? And they just kind of just stumble along thinking, well, we're not going to be a display company, but we need a display of our own to connect to the Mac Pro in the stores, so we'll just kind of just linger on with it. And it's baffling. It's baffling.
I don't get why the Apple display is still what it is and is still in the stores. I mean, they must sell enough to make it worthwhile to continue making that. And that's what they did for years with the iPod Classic. I mean, you couldn't see one on the showroom floor, but if you went into the store and said, I want an iPod Classic, they'd go get it out of the back and bring it to you. And that they were making, or they were selling enough to make it worthwhile to continue doing that. They don't do it now. But all I can figure is that even though this display is old and overpriced, that they're selling enough that it's worth it to them to just keep making it.
I think the reason they're selling enough is because there are people who are psychologically resistant to having a Mac Mini or a Mac Pro and then connecting a Hewlett-Packard display or a Samsung display.
Well, I'm sure there's some people that don't realize you can connect other displays. And for some people, I'm sure they look at it and they think, wow, I really like this display and I'm willing to pay almost $1,000 for it. And for those people, great. I mean, if you're getting what you want, more power to you. But for the rest of us, I'm just pretty baffled by the whole Apple display thing.
Yeah, me too. So,
I think we have time for one more product on your list.
All right. Well, how about we talk about the Mac Mini?
Okay, let's talk about the Mac Mini.
The article that caught my attention was an article our friend Jim Tanis wrote at Tech Review on the new Mac Mini that was released last fall. And on December 1st, he wrote, the new Mac Mini is quickly turning into a disaster. And there were two things that he was particularly annoyed about. One, Apple transitioned to soldered-on RAM so that you couldn't upgrade your Mac Mini anymore. But compounding that was the processor situation. The older Mac Minis from 2012, according to Jim, had quad-core CPUs, but the new 2014 models are dual-core only, and even though they are Haswell chips, they can't make up for that quad-core punch that the Ivy Bridge had. So he was very upset with that, and the Mac Mini has always been sort of a what would you call it?
I'd call it a gateway computer. not the company,
yeah,
but a gateway computer, something that Windows users can pick up for cheap, connect to the keyboards and displays they already have,
right?
Get a taste for the Apple desktop in OS X, and then move over to a MacBook Pro later on.
Sort of a throwaway product, yeah. You know, put it in a server in a closet, or mess around with it as a computer to play with. Put beta software on it, or
yeah. I think there's a lot of people that get their Mac Minis maybe like their first Mac, and then when they decide they want something like a MacBook Pro or a MacBook Air, then they take that Mac Mini and they turn it into a media server.
Yes. Yeah, I think I was reading a tweet about somebody who was doing that the other day. Yeah. Yeah, it has its uses. But again, why Apple went from quad-core down to dual-core, maybe with some snafu with Intel and they couldn't get the chips they wanted in the quantity. That could be an issue. You know, maybe they go to Intel and they say, we want these chips. And Intel says, you're ready to buy 2 million. And Apple says, no, we want 200,000. And then there's some pricing issues or something like that. So Apple says, oh, well, sigh, okay, we'll buy those.
You know, I have a feeling it's more an issue where Apple looked at the Mac Mini and felt they needed to make a more distinct difference between it and other computer models. Yeah, much like they did years ago when they pissed us off with the whole iMovie thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because the differences between iMovie and Final Cut for most people were becoming less and less significant. And people were, in some cases, using a consumer-level product, iMovie, to do professional movie stuff, and Apple needed to change that, which is part of the reason why we ended up with a redesigned iMovie that had a stripped down feature set. I'm wondering if Apple felt that the Mac Mini needed to be more distinct from the other computers that it makes, so people understood this is a starter machine.
It could well be. It's still one's heart sinks a little bit when you think about how surprise and delight for a new product turns into shock and dismay.
Yeah, and I'm sure for some people it does. I think for the market, Apple is pushing the Mac Mini on, or wants to push the Mac Mini on. It probably doesn't matter that much. But for the rest of us, it is disappointing. And since, let's see, we're in August, and the last time we had our change to the Mac Mini was November, is that right?
Yeah, I think it was November 2014.
Okay, so
that's not too bad. I mean,
that's not too bad. But considering our disappointment with the hardware, it would be nice to see a new model come out that adds back in some flexibility. So maybe later this year we'll get an updated Mac Mini. And even if it doesn't give us back the ability to pop in a RAM upgrade, maybe they'll improve the performance so that it's less of a sting when we can't do those upgrades.
Yeah, I hope so too. And Apple goes in cycles. You know, sometimes they slip up a little bit and then they recover. So I'm hoping for the best.
Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed. Yeah. And hey, we are out of time. So, yeah, guess we're going to have to wrap up. John, it was great having you on the show today.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for bringing your rant list. And as always, you're able to give us a nice rant while keeping it civil.
As always.
Yeah, some people have a hard time with that. Hey, listeners, when you go buy your new Macs and iPhones, use our special link, macobserver.com/Apple Store, and then that will help us generate a little bit more money to make sure that all of the shows and content that we bring to you is there when you expect to see it. And thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.